There are hundreds of additions to one of Christmas's most famous poems. Tonight, on this Christmas Eve, we look into the untold story of "Twas the Night Before Christmas." Tonight, on the Deuce Conrad Show. Was the night before Christmas, and all through the house. You see, it's that famous line, the beginning of one of the most beloved Christmas stories of all time. And for nearly 200 years, children have gone to bed, often too excited to sleep in their anticipation of Santa Claus arriving on Christmas Eve to leave them presents under the Christmas tree. In 1823, the poem "A Visit from St. Nicholas" was published anonymously, and the real author has been a controversy ever since. You see, it was 14 years after the poem was first published that Clement C. Moore admitted that he had penned the popular Christmas poem. In fact, one story claims that Moore's housekeeper sent the poem to be published, since Moore was so embarrassed by the poem that, when compared to his more serious works, that he didn't want to send it in and have it published. Yet he later included it in one of his book of poems. However, the real author of the poem, according to his children, was Major Henry Livingston Jr., one of Dr. Moore's friends. In fact, the children claimed that Livingston had first recited his poem to them in 1807 and for many years afterwards. You see, it was Livingston who was known for publishing his poems anonymously under the lone letter of R. Now, according to the Poetry Foundation, Livingston was declared the true author by Don Foster of Vassar College in his 2000 book, Author Unknown, On the Trail of the Anonymous. Even years later, Moore is still credited as the original author, inspired to pen the poem while on a winter sleigh ride to go shopping. Now, which poet penned the famous poem? I guess it depends on who is asked. The chances of Moore being the author versus Livingston is typically split evenly between the two. Each side claims forensic evaluations prove in favor of their poet. However, Moore has been credited for the poem since the mid-1800s, and his name is the one associated with a poem in society's mind. Now, there have been some changes in wording. In fact, over the years, the title of the poem evolved into "The Night Before Christmas" and "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." The names of Donner and Blitzen are reportedly not the original names. The Dutch words "dunder," which stands for thunder, and "bliksem," which stands for lightning, were later changed to Donner and Blitzen for better poetic rhyming. Now, if you're looking for a copy of the poem, you can download the poem just about anywhere on the internet. But one has to ask, did either author ever anticipate that this particular poem would be so loved, not only in the years to come, but centuries later? You see, the classic poem had contemporary symbolism. It was the catchy wording, vivid imagery, and memorable lines of "'Twas the Night Before Christmas" that gave rise to contemporary symbolism, influencing society's perception of the Big Jolly One, the Fat Man, St. Nicholas, more commonly known as Santa Claus. You see, many details included in the poem were not part of mainstream America's Christmas celebration, having instead a strong religious form of celebration. Santa and his flying reindeer weren't known at the time the poem was written. But when the poem became more and more widely distributed, the poem's symbolism became ingrained in the American Christmas celebration. In fact, the poem avoided controversy of the time period. You see, Santa Claus visiting homes on Christmas Eve became an accepted tradition, according to Theodore Roosevelt Center at Dickinson University. More diplomatically sidestepped a common controversy during the time the poem was first published. You see, the actual day of Christmas was in dispute between the Protestants, who claimed December 25th, and the Catholics, who claimed December the 6th. Moore avoided the controversy by simply referring to the time frame as Christmas Eve without a date. Now, Moore's poem also solidified the tradition of hanging stockings at Christmas, and according to the Smithsonian, there are numerous stories for explaining the origin of hanging stockings by the fireside to be filled by Santa Claus. The most popular one tells of a destitute, widowed father worried about his three daughters' prospects of marriage since he had no dowry for them. But have no fear, St. Nicholas came to the rescue. Now, overhearing the town gossip about the girl's predicament, St. Nicholas knew the proud father would not accept charity. So he decided to crawl down the family's chimney. Once in the home, he found the girl's stockings hanging by the fireplace to dry, and he deposited a few gold coins in the stockings and slipped back up that chimney undetected. The next morning, the girls awoke to a future with many marital possibilities. Another iconic imagery Moore created in his poem is Santa's eight flying reindeer. Not only did Moore introduce the fantastical flying reindeer, but he gave each one of them a name, much the same way a family names a pet. And it was this addition that made the poem more personal and beloved. But along with the controversy of who penned the poem are many versions of what inspired Moore to write the famous poem. You know, it's reported that Moore based the overall story on St. Nicholas, found in Dutch legends as a gift-giving saint. In fact, one story claims Moore decided a local Dutchman handyman in town was the ideal iconic St. Nicholas. He set out to fashion an adorable and lovable persona that combined the two. But since its first appearance in 1823, the famous poem has been reprinted in newspapers and books around the world. There is no accurate measure of how many times it has been printed or into how many languages it's been translated. But the 431 words divided into a mere 56 lines is arguably one of the most widely distributed holiday tales in existence. Every bookstore offers a wide range of interpretations, from cartoon illustrations to intricately and lovingly crafted illustrated masterpieces. While some versions have slightly modernized Moore's now outdated language, very few changes have been made. Books have been created by illustration artists such as Jan Brett, Christian Birmingham, and Mary Englebright, each one giving new meaning to the classical words. "'Twas the Night Before Christmas" was, and is, so outrageously popular that it spawned innumerable parodies adapted for every lifestyle imaginable. Politically correct, college final exams, Star Trek, dieting, teaching, alternative holidays, religion, regional dialects, and even adult content versions have been adapted for the poem. And while these may not contribute as much to the wholesome holiday spirit as the original work, their very existence demonstrates the overwhelming popularity of the poem. Even various movies have been produced based on "'Twas the Night Before Christmas" poem. From the era of black and white to modern CGI, Santa Claus movies are popular holiday treats. One of the most memorable is the Santa Claus trilogy starring Tim Allen in the lead role of Santa Claus. In that saga, Allen is an unwilling replacement for Santa who falls to his death when he slips off the roof of Scott Calvin's home. Netflix The Christmas Chronicle, starring Kurt Russell, tells the story of siblings attempting to catch Santa on video and everything that goes wrong. An entire market sprung up around Moore's poem and burgeoned the fantasy character deeper into mainstream American culture. Coca-Cola was the first to iconicize Santa Claus as described in Moore's poem. From garments, jewelry, home decor, figurines, toys, and all types of Christmas china, tableware, and glassware, Moore's Saint Nick and his reindeer are portrayed. You see, the poem, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," is read during the Christmas season by millions of Americans. It has literally become the embodiment of the non-religious side of the holiday and spawned an entire industry. Whether your family curls up by the fireside with a treasured copy of the poem turned into a book or movie, the legacy of this one poem lives on from generation to the next generation as families continue to celebrate Christmas. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief, and I in my cap, had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the beast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes did appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop, the coursers they flew, with the sleigh full of toys and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His draw little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk. And laying his finger aside of his nose, and giving a nod up the chimney, he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night." As we prepare for Christmas Day, there's no greater story than 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, except for one, and that is the true story of Christmas. As the Gospel of Matthew reminds us, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise. When, as his mother, Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which, being interpreted, is God with us. From all of us here at the Deuce Conrad Show, we wish you a very, very Merry Christmas.